All right, if the rest of us could grab a Bible and turn to Daniel chapter 8. Daniel chapter 8. Today is, I said this earlier, our quarterly prayer service. About quarterly, every 4 months, we try to come together as a church family and spend time in prayer, in just a real deep time of prayer, where we can pray for pray scripture over our church and over our own lives, and so we do that together. And so maybe you're new or you can't remember what we do. I will kind of teach through a little bit of scripture in Daniel and the focus of prayer and what it should mean and how we should approach it. Then we will spend some time in prayer, and there'll be prayer prompts that come up on the screen behind me here, and I'll ask someone to pray regarding that, or a couple of someone's to pray. If you don't want to pray out loud, you don't have to pray out loud, but I know that the Lord will stir someone to pray, and we will pray together, and then at the end of our time, we'll kind of get into some groups and just share a short prayer request and pray for each other. It is a sweet time just to humble ourselves and humble our hearts before the Lord. So Daniel 9 is the focus of today's prayer service, and a great opportunity again to look at what he is saying, what Daniel has communicated to us, what the Lord has said through Daniel, and how he approached God in prayer. And I think it should be similar to us. So I'll pray for us, and then we'll go to the text and break it up into some prayer time. All right, so let's pray together. Father in heaven, we're grateful to be here today, Lord and God. As we have come, we've come from different places in our own life, God. Different seasons, not only in our life, but also different mornings for all of us. And what's happened this morning, God, is not unfamiliar to you. You know. And so, Lord, as we have come together today, may you just remind us that we come, and we ought to come in humility. God, we ought to come in reverence. We ought to come in a place where our heart posture would be to seek you and to seek your will and your ways. And God, we know that you're a God who hears us when we cry out to you. So Lord, as your church, as your people today, we pray you would guide us and guide our hearts into prayer, that we would yield ourselves to you, we would see you for who you are, see us for who we are, God, and acknowledge that our only hope is Jesus. We thank you, we offer you praise, and we pray in Jesus' name, amen. All right, so Daniel chapter 9, I'm going to read the text 4 through 7 here in a minute. But as we look, there's kind of three sections today. You know how I like a three-point sermon. And the first point, number one, is Lord, hear. Lord, hear. And so if you're following along, there are sermon notes. You can check that out. Write some notes down. I like to highlight things in my Bible or underline things in my Bible. But Daniel starts here in verse 4, and it says this. He says, I prayed to the Lord my God, and I confessed. What did he confess? Well, ah, Lord, the great an awe-inspiring God who keeps his gracious covenant with those who love him and keep his commands. Now, we stop there for a minute. I think it's very important for us, and I like to have this attitude when I approach prayer, that I begin with this confession of, God, you're great. God, you are great. And I make sure to say, God, I want to adore you. I want to praise you. I want to exalt you. When we have our worship service here together as a congregation, we begin with songs of praise and a call to worship where we praise God. And it helps us understand who he is more and remind us that we're low and he's up high, right? He's the one who's greater. And so I love how he starts, great, you are the great and awe-inspiring God who keeps his gracious covenant with those who love him and keep his commands. But as we see how great and awe-inspiring God is, what do we see a bit more clearly as well? How not great and awe-inspiring we are, right? Look what he says next in verse 5. We, like you are awesome, we have what? We have sinned, we have done wrong, acted wickedly, we've rebelled and turned away from your commands and your ordinances. We have not listened to your servants, the prophets who spoke in your name to our kings and leaders and ancestors and all the people of the land. It's like we got to make sure we know we juxtapose God with us, that we are not on the same level, right? God created us in his image, but we have rebelled against God and our sinful people. But God is still great and awe-inspiring. And so we approach him because he has a gracious covenant with us. And then in verse 7, look what he says, Lord, righteousness belongs to you. Think about this. We can live life, and people often live life thinking, I'm righteous. You know, we talk about, like, man, how self-righteous is that person? They're so self-righteous. What are we saying? They're basically like, they think they're hot stuff, right? But when Daniel prayed, he said what? Lord, you are Righteousness, all righteousness belongs to you, but this day, public shame belongs to us. Public shame belongs to us, the men of Judah, the residents of Jerusalem, and all Israel, to those near and far, in all the countries where you have banished them because of their disloyalty they have shown towards you. Now, certainly, Israel was going through a certain time of exile and discipline of God, but we too are like Israel was then. We too disobey and get distracted, and we put idols up that we shouldn't put up, and we worship them, and we're disloyal to him. But we still acknowledge and confess he's the righteous one. He's the gracious one. So Lord, you are awe-inspiring. You are gracious. You are righteous. We are guilty. We are shameful. We are rebellious. And so as we begin our first time of prayer, I'm going to ask that we pray a couple things. One, we're going to pray with adoration about God's amazing love. That'll be the first one in a moment. And then the next thing, I'm just going to ask you to pray silently and just confess to the Lord. And this isn't like when we confess, it's not, we're not there yet where we ask for forgiveness. That's coming up next. But we just confess and say, God, yeah, I'm wrong. A lot of times I do things, I mess up. And so we'll have a time of silent prayer where no one needs to pray out loud. Just we'll silently, individually confess, and then we'll pray. I'll ask someone to pray, confessing our collective sin and shame, and then we'll go to the Lord for forgiveness after that. So let's start now with prayer, and I would like someone, a couple people, to just pray out loud with adoration to the Lord for His amazing love, His righteousness, His graciousness. Would you do that, please? Now let's pray. Let's spend a couple minutes just silently, individually, acknowledging and confessing our own sin and rebellion. And Lord, now we collectively confess, Lord, we know how inadequate we are. God, we know how we as your body, as your church, have brought dishonor to you in many ways. Lord, through our lives, through our actions, Lord, through our attitudes. God, help us. God, help us seek you and your righteousness. Help us live for your sake. Help us draw attention to our great and glorious God, who is awe-inspiring, gracious and righteous. We thank you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, going on in Daniel 9 here, we go to point number two. Point number two, it says, Lord, forgive. Lord, forgive. And when we talk about asking the Lord to forgive, we realize not only have we sinned, but you think about how this works. If you had a family, and I'm going to use this family unit analogy a little bit during this point, but you have a family, and if you have if you're a harsh parent or you're an unforgiving parent, even if your child understands and acknowledges their sin, what they feel is when they come to you, you're not going to extend mercy or forgiveness or compassion. I think obviously for human beings, we let ego get in the way, right? We let this honor thing, like, hey, you don't deserve it. Well, no one deserves mercy. That's why it's mercy. And so when we look at this, when we look at our Heavenly Father, we can acknowledge our sin and we can go to Him and find mercy and find compassion and find grace in our time of need. Amen? Daniel chapter 9, verses 8 and 9. It says, Lord, public shame belongs to us, to our kings, our leaders, our ancestors, because we have sinned against you. Again, acknowledging that it's there, it's real. But verse 9 says, compassion and forgiveness belong to the Lord our God, even though we have rebelled against him. though we have rebelled against them. What a wonderful, think about a household who has a parent and parents who say, listen, sin is wrong and rebellion is wrong and you will be guilty and there's probably consequences for that. But in humility, if you come, in humility, if you acknowledge your sin, if you, in humility you come and seek the forgiveness of the Lord, you're going to find mercy and grace. What great restoration that brings in relationship. Do you understand? And that's what God wants is this restorative relationship with us. Not just for us to acknowledge, man, we're really, really bad. We're really, really bad. And go into this bad spiral of despair and down into a deep hole and stay there. That's not what God wants. God wants us to understand the depth of our sin, the despair of our sin, the desperation of our guilt and shame. But he wants us to look up and look at him who is gracious and compassionate. His compassion and forgiveness abound on those who would come to him. And he desires that relationship to be restored as we come to him in repentance and faith and trust in him. 1 John says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Again, when we approach the God of all gods, the most compassionate, merciful God, as we approach him for forgiveness, we're not just approaching him acknowledging our sin, we're approaching him in humility, desiring his mercy and compassion, so we're in right standing and right relationship with him, and that's what he seeks, and that's what he wants as well. So we're going to go to the Lord now again in prayer, and so let's pray together, and I'd like someone or several to pray, seeking forgiveness, but also righteousness or the mercy of God for us. Let's pray. If someone would pray now, thanking God for his compassion and for his forgiveness. God, we thank you so much that you are not like the God of Islam, haphazard with mercy or haphazard with justice, but you are deliberate with your justice as you have put it on Jesus Christ. As you took the punishment for us, we're now offered mercy and compassion and grace from God. We thank you for that. We thank you that your compassion abounds and your love abounds. We thank you that your covenant love for us is a continual love for us, an abounding love, God, a steadfast love. We're thankful for that. You're an amazing God, mighty to save. We praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. We look at our next point, number three, our final one. We talk about this prayer. It's, Lord, listen and act. Listen and act. Let's look at verses 17 through 19 together. Therefore, our God, hear the prayer and the petitions of your servant. Make your face shine on your desolate sanctuary for the Lord's sake. Listen closely, my God, and hear. Open your ears and see our desolations and the city that bears your name. For we are not presenting our petitions before you based on our righteous acts, but based on your abundant compassion. Lord, hear. Lord, forgive. Lord, listen and act. My God, for your own sake, do not delay, because your city and your people bear your name. This is a beautiful ask, and we talked about this in Sunday school a bit this morning, but the idea of coming to the Lord, and he does hear, he does listen to us. And we ask him to act. Say, God, you need to act. You need to do something. And oftentimes, what we're saying, though, is, God, you need to do something that I want you to do. You need to do something the way I need you to do it. Like, I'm coming to you with what the script, here you go. Now, God is fine with our honesty. He wants us to plead our case and let it all out before him. But this, what's beautiful about this prayer and the petition from Daniel is, in the middle of struggle and distress and even in their rebellion and their exile, Daniel is on behalf of Israel going to God saying, God, we need you to act for your sake. Like, if you're going to shine on us in our desolation, shine on us in our desolation for your sake, for your glory, that would be the top priority. He says, listen closely and hear, open your eyes and see our desolations, the city that bears your name. Understanding that we are important to God and we are bearers not only of God's image, but his name wherever we go. So it ought to be important to us that God refines us and takes care of us and shines on us, but he does it for his sake. Ultimately, for his sake. He'll do it for our good, but for his sake. And what we think is our good based on what God thinks is our good is two different things, right? We talked about that this morning, and you're a kid in school, and I used to do this. I procrastinate to the last minute, right? And I'd be like, okay, I'm going to get this essay done. It's 11 o'clock at night. It's due tomorrow morning at 8. I haven't started it yet, but I'd go to God in prayer, and God, for your sake, for your glory, like let me get this done and get an A on it. Because that's the best for my best. And God's like, maybe an F is actually for your best. Maybe for you to fail and learn is for you. And we don't like that, do we? We don't like to think, well, that doesn't feel like my best. Or parents, like, well, you know how this is. Kids, listen up. Your parents are going to say, children, I know you don't like this, but we have your best interest at heart. You're like, oh, you don't know. No, they do. I mean, and we aren't perfect as parents. We don't always have their best interest at heart, do we? We kind of have some of our needs in there too. But God, listen, God does have your best interest at heart. And ultimately, God has his glory at heart. And so when we pray to him, we seek him. We can be honest and share all of our stuff. But ultimately, there should be a yielding that says, God, when you shine down, when you bless, may it be for our good, but for your glory. Whatever that is, it's for your sake. He goes on, we are not presenting our request based on our righteous acts. Like, we don't come and say, God, I'm really good. I've been really good this week. So here you go. You've got to bless. God's like, no, that's not what we go to. No, we don't present our request with our righteous acts, but based on his abundant compassion. So Lord, hear, Lord, forgive, Lord, listen and act. My God, for your own sake, do not delay because your city and your people bear your name. So when we pray, we're going to pray now that the Lord would bless his people, but it would be that God would shine his light on his people for his sake and not ours. Amen? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Someone pray that God would bless and shine his light for his sake and not ours. Lord, I thank you for your great love and mercy and that your ways are higher than our ways. And God, as we acknowledge that, we pray that you would, as you bestow your grace upon us and your will upon us for your sake, that you would reveal yourself not only to us, but you would reveal yourself through us to the world around, that they might see how you've changed us, how you've instilled a deep hope in us and a resilience, how we live forgiven and we live for you, that people would see you through us. May we live for your glory as we love you with all of our heart, God, and love our neighbor as ourself. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Let's close our reading out of Lamentations chapter 3, verses 22 and 24. Some great verses here. It says there, because of the Lord's faithful love, we do not perish, for his mercies never end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. I say, the Lord is my portion. Therefore, I will put my hope in him. Let us pray. Father, let us do that, Lord. Let us not just say that. Let's actually do that, Lord. Let that be our marching orders, that we put our hope in you, that we have a hope that lasts beyond the grave because of your Son, because of his sacrifice, Lord, because he paid it all. And we can come to you now as sons and daughters, bought into your house, Lord, and made heirs with your Son to your kingdom, Lord. Help us to continually be in prayer as we go forward, Lord, to be in communion and fellowship with you, Lord, and with each other. We ask that you would have us be joyful as we go and share with those around us who you are so they may come know you as well. We love you, Father, and we praise you. We pray all of these things in your name. Amen.